There's a medication that they give people, several different types of medication that they give people to be able to go through these gates. But then it's the modern stargates that they're using that really don't have that problem. You basically instantaneously go from one place to another, and there's no lag time. So we have this, just to finish off this whole series of thoughts before we go into what's happening now, there is a lineage of people who are descended from extraterrestrial humans. They had advanced abilities, and that's in fact part of what allowed them to help build our society. These extraterrestrial humans were of immeasurable help in building our society, and their descendants basically ran the show for a long time. And that's why you have divine right of kings and all that kind of stuff. Now, what's happened is that there has become a negative trend. Again, these people were not negative in the beginning, but there's become a negative trend that's woven itself through a lot of this stuff, and those negative folks have actually kind of seized control over a lot of the other ones. But there's a lot of people in there who are not buying into the negative agenda, and that's why I really, really decry this trend on the internet of xenophobia, where people think, "Oh my God, Illuminati, they're all evil. We got to kill them. We got to get rid of them." There's so much signs within these groups of mass disquiet. They don't like what's going on. They don't want to be involved. They would get out if they could, but if you try to get out, they'll hunt you down and kill you. But what's now happening is the rest of the world is aware that these people exist, and they don't want to have a 4.5 billion person reduction in global population. Now, the argument is that this is going to be good for the environment, that it's going to promote the restoration of the biosphere and allow the planet to restore to its original state. But I firmly and emphatically believe that this is a cover for what does amount to racism, in the sense that a lot of these folks are effectively Caucasians. Caucasians are some of the most recent extraterrestrial lineage to come to the Earth. Caucasian is not native to this planet at all. And so they actually do see Caucasians as superior to other races. And whether it's an uncomfortable subject or not, and I know that it is uncomfortable, but it is a fact from what I've heard on the inside that they basically want to get rid of a lot of these other people who are not Caucasian. They're not so worried about Caucasian people. I mean, they certainly are willing to let a lot of them go, but that's the main race that they want to try to keep on the planet. And again, this is psychosis. I mean, this is just insanity. And it's hard to even have a straight discussion with somebody when they start going into something like this. And, you know, I in no way. It's just insane to promote genocide. And yet what's happening is that these guys are now making their endgame maneuvers. And here's the trick. They're trying to get this population reduction, but they're doing it much too hastily because they've run out of time. They are now being closed in upon by everybody else in the world. There is a massive worldwide effort being made to shut these guys down. And again, it's only the people at the top that are really the ones promoting the negative agenda. Most of the people that are in this group, of which there are probably millions, there's definitely over a million of them, at least in America. I don't know how many there are outside that in the rest of the world, but we know there's about a million. So these people would get away if they could, but they're being kept held prisoner by their leaders, and the leaders are the ones that are really promoting this agenda. These people were born into it. They are abused from the time they're born, if not before they're born, and they have to go through all this astonishingly awful stuff that does make them extremely, extremely strong people. They go through training processes that involve the use of mind manipulation. And the average person, if you were to go through what these people have to go through, it would make you have a mental break and you would end up needing to be institutionalized. It's only because they've been going through this since the time they were very young that they can actually handle this type of treatment and not completely die from a heart attack or, you know, or otherwise lose their ability to function as a mental, you know, as a mind.
Right, because this is just the way it is. They grew up that way.
Yeah, it's the procedures involve a combination of sort of short-term, highly psychedelic drugs, the usage of hypnotic triggers and suggestions, the usage of certain films that actually impose programming within the film, and then the usage of electroshock as a form of operant conditioning where they're trying to get people to be loyal to the group. The loyalty of the group is actually the main program that they install. But this program is installed effectively under torture.
Yeah.
And they create these partitions in your mind. They have to get to you before you're 3.5 years old or else it won't work. And even if you're 3.5 years old or younger, that's when you get what they call a core split. And that means that you actually have an amnesic barrier against this other part of yourself. So there can literally be people in the Illuminati who do not know that they are in their waking daily life. They have a lot of clues. If you wake up and you have the phone off the hook in your hand, that's a darn good clue that there's something going on. If you find yourself compelled to go to bed at night and you're wearing your clothes and you don't know why, but it just seems like the right thing to do, that's another very good clue. And again, there's very few people that this is going to apply to, and I in no way want to encourage paranoid schizophrenia, because unfortunately there's a lot of people out there who write in and say some really crazy stuff, and I'm aware that this will make people more crazy. So I don't try to go into a whole lot of detail about this stuff, because people start having a paranoid fantasy that all this stuff is happening to them. Most of the people out there, in fact, almost everybody listening, this does not apply to you. And you're not being mind controlled, and you're not in some secret group that you don't know about. If you were in this group, there would be plenty and plenty of memories that are easily available to you of being involved in rituals and things like that. And all you got to do is just think a little bit, and you'll start remembering lots of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly fear that keeps you from looking at it. But anyway, these people do not want to be in this group. The majority of them do not want to be in this group. And it's like, I don't know what the heck we're going to do about it, because I'm hearing some very, very disturbing reports that really make me very upset. And the latest reports that I'm hearing now is that because a lot of people's covers are being blown, we're already seeing, like, for example, people who are working undercover, who've been working for these guys, they're being killed in the most appalling, torturous manners possible. And yet they may not have voluntarily gotten those jobs. They may be doing those jobs because they had no choice, and everybody's covers are getting blown now, and as a result, they're sometimes dying under the most hideous tortures imaginable. And this is starting to happen. I'm getting this from a very, very high source. These guys are being systematically hunted down, and again, the knee-jerk response that most people would have when they hear that is, hallelujah. The part that I feel regretful about is that it's happening with extreme violence. There's great, great acts of humanitarian tragedy that are being done against some of these people now. And that obviously is going to make them very concerned and all the more protective. Now, I do think that probably as this whole thing starts to break open even more than it is now, that if anybody out there listening is actually a member of this group, I think your best bet is to not wait for them to come to you. I think your best bet is to take protective measures now, request amnesty, and be willing to speak before some sort of truth tribunal. You do not want to wait until they come to you and start tearing you apart, because this is what's starting to happen. And I am certainly happy to be one of the people out there as a spokesperson to say, look, we cannot reenact Hitler's Wehrmacht.
Yeah.
We are not animals. We are not monsters. Hitler convinced everybody that if you're a Jew, you are the devil, and you deserve nothing more than hideous torture. And the Germans may not have known the full extent of what was going on in the concentration camps, but you better believe they knew that the Germans were purging the Jews because they were very angry. Now, they had to put money in wheelbarrows, and on my website, I told a story about these two kids who brought German marks to the center of town in a big basket, and they were hoping just with all that money that they could buy, like, a little bit of food for their family. And the kids were kind of naive, and they ran to the store windows to look inside and see what was there. And when they turned around, someone had stolen the basket, but not before they dumped out all the German marks on the road. That's how... That's how low value the currency had. The basket was worth more than this heap of money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the amount of economic suffering that's caused by that, then everybody wants somebody to blame. Well, what do? You shift the public's blame towards this group of people. And it's starting to happen now. There is so much xenophobia on the internet. Everybody wants to believe in a black and white world, in a unilateral devil, and say, oh, there's the devil. There he is, you know. And anybody that is in this group is the devil. Well, guess what? Now, I'm not saying that I know any of these people personally, because I don't, but I am significantly well aware that there are more A-list actors in Hollywood than you would care to ever know who are members of this group. That's one of the divisions of the group is media. And as I said, it's like we kind of consider these people our family in the mainstream media. Would you advocate the same kind of torturous treatment of them too?
Yeah.
So I think that what's going to happen at some point is that there's going to be sort of an astonishing breakthrough where some of these people break ranks and actually say, they come out clean and say, look, you know, this is what's going on. We were involved in this group. It's been going on for thousands of years, and da-da-da. And there's a big disclosure like that, because if you read what's going on with Benjamin Fulford, and again, periodically we get some stray gunfire from people saying, oh, Fulford isn't credible. Well, I completely disagree. Benjamin Fulford was the East-West editor for Forbes magazine. He has been in contact with insider sources who have revealed information that later was proven to be true based on what happened in the media on many occasions. He got tipped off to the economic failure that happened in 2008. There's plenty of evidence that he's in contact with real people, and in fact, there have been so many times that Fulford comes up with something that I was independently hearing from my own insiders.
For those that don't know who that is, who is that?
Who is who?
Benjamin Fulford.
Oh, as I just said, he was the East-West editor for Forbes magazine.
Okay.
He lives in Japan. He was actually doing an investigative journalism on where all this money that Japan was making was going, because
mm-hmm.
Japan has a massive financial surplus. And it's like, where the... Sorry, that was my call waiting. Where the heck is all the money going? So what happened was, he actually tracked it down, and he was able to discover that it all traced back to the Rockefeller faction, which was originally started by the Rockefellers. It doesn't seem that they're running it anymore. But it's the sort of the U.S. version of the Illuminati, which now is actually in strident opposition to the European or Rothschild faction. And the war that started to go on there was that when Fulford found out that the Rockefeller faction was absorbing all this wealth out of Japan and basically doing it under gunpoint, Fulford's life was threatened, and he was offered the opportunity to basically join the Illuminati or else be killed. And he would have been given a very powerful position as like a foreign diplomat or something, and he refused, and only because he was then contacted by representatives of another group that were effectively resisting the Illuminati. And this group has now formed something that he's calling the White Dragon Society, which includes a fairly good percentage of people in the Pentagon, a lot of the people who are not on the negative side that are in the Vatican but are well aware of what's going on with the Vatican. there's a lot of different groups in Asia that are involved with this, and I go through that in my latest article on the website. So Fulford's background is that he started out mainstream. He was a prominent writer. He was literally the main guy that was Forbes' contact between, like, Asian countries and the Western world, because he's bilingual. He can speak Japanese fluently and English.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not very common. And if you actually are Caucasian over there in Japan and you speak Japanese, that gives you enormous credibility. And there's very few people who can do that. So that's part of why he's so highly respected. And in fact, you see him on his website, benjaminfulford.typepad.com. He routinely blogs in hiragana, which is the Japanese language, in writing, you know, hiragana and kanji. So there's no question that he's bilingual, and there's no question that he's doing conferences in Japan, releasing videos that are all in Japanese. And I am completely convinced that he's in touch with real insiders who are giving him real information. Now, a lot of times there's disinformation. He's gotten many things that he's been told that are wrong. But he's also been very edgy about the extraterrestrial thing. I understand it. I mean, it seems like you're completely cutting the tethers to your credibility when you start going into ETs. And so he's very reticent to do it. But hopefully this weekend I'm going to be releasing audio of an interview where I tried to get him to go into some information, some detail, because he's now saying that the Chinese were contacted by a group of ETs in the 1940s that had been horribly mistreated by the U.S. Now, we never get straight confirmation, and I asked him this, were these the same people who were affected by the Roswell crash and by the fact that ETs were held hostage? He said, I don't know, I wasn't told that.
Mm-hmm.
But it strongly sounds like that's what it was.
Yeah.
And so, naturally, if you can trace the thought through in your mind and say, okay, people in the Roswell crash, many insiders say that one of the things that the Roswell beings had in their hands was called the cube, and it's an ability to look through time that this machine generates for you. They also call it the yellow disc because there's this little thing that looks like a yellow disc that sits on top of it when it pops open. But you basically think about what point in time you want to look at, and then it shows it to you in a holographic form. So if these Roswell beings had the cube, which I totally believe they did based on multiple insider testimonies, then they can see the future, and they could see that even if China didn't seem like much more than a very large, almost medieval country for that time, that they would become a formidable world power in the future. So I believe this is what's going on, that the people that were in the Roswell crash, who were effectively good people, you got to remember now, if you actually go into what the real insiders say, the Roswell beings are not grays. That's a very common misunderstanding. You go back to the original data, people who actually saw them, they looked like children, like 10-year-old children with large heads and unusually large eyes. But the eyes are like our eyes, just much bigger. They're not black.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very common problem that people have when they look at this. Because, again, most of the people out there are human. And even the ones who do have black eyes, we now know that that's not the way they really look biologically. That's just a form of sunglasses that pop over the eye like a contact lens. And it has all this computerized stuff inside of it that allows them to be able to, use technology that's coming from their ship or stuff that they have in their hands, and they can get a lot of advanced information that they wouldn't be able to see otherwise. It's like a heads-up display. It's like a cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's right inside their eyes. So there's all kinds of things they can do with those visors that make it a valuable technology to have. Plus, it shields their eyes from the solar radiation of their native planet, which is usually, like, much too bright for their naked eye to see.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, these beings, what we're now learning from Fulford, and I feel this is legendary information, it's breakthrough stuff in ufology that we're now getting all these connections being made. The Roswell people, the people that were the families of the ones that got captured, went to China and brokered a deal with them. And they've literally been working since the 1940s, ever since, in this plan to defeat the Illuminati, which has only started to actually go into the working phase since September of this year. They've waited this long to really finally make their move, and I believe the reason why is that there is no value in making their move until the adversary was weak enough that whatever they're going to do would actually be effective. So that's a very important point. There's been a lot of extraterrestrial assistance to the Chinese behind the scenes and to their allies, Brazil, Russia, India, China, or BRIC. And this assistance has, to a large degree, involved an economic battle, which is why you had the 2008 economic collapse. If you actually look at the presidential election, don't fool yourself for 1 minute into thinking that anybody in the Rockefeller faction wanted there to be a total economic collapse right before the presidential election. That didn't help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted John McCain to be president. They did not want Obama to be president. Hillary was the European faction's chosen candidate, and John McCain was the Rockefeller faction's chosen candidate. And the reason why they wanted McCain is that they felt that he was going to die pretty soon, or else they might have even been able to help it along. And nobody would have accepted Sarah Palin as president. In fact, McCain went behind their backs to pick her as his running mate. They did not approve of that. He made this crazy maverick move and did it behind their backs. They wanted him. There was one faction that wanted him to pick Lieberman because the Jewish faction is very strong. There was another faction that wanted him to pick Romney because, believe it or not, Mormonism is very, very powerful in the insider black ops community. And Romney's a Mormon, just
mm-hmm.
like Glenn Beck is a Mormon. And you don't ever hear him talking about Mormonism, but he totally is.
Never.
Well, they've moved most of these facilities away from places like Area 51 and places like the Denver base under the airport. They moved it all to Utah. And that whole area, it was originally a joke, but now they actually call it Mormania. It consists of, like, Washington, Oregon, Utah, Idaho. You know, there's this group of states in the Northwest that they want to really protect and have that be sort of like the safe haven in the event that things really go south. But they did not in any way want there to be an economic collapse before the election because, literally you have John McCain on national television saying the fundamentals of the economy are sound.
Yes.
And then the next week, bam. And a lot of the funds that went belly up were these hedge funds that are really one of the best Ponzi schemes in town, where you bet against these other stocks, these other companies, knowing when they're going to go down, and then when they go down, because of the way these derivatives are written, they have to basically hand you all their wealth on the way down. It's really corrupt and crazy. So Fulford has been saying that the Chinese engineered this collapse for 2008, and as a result of engineering this collapse, there was a lot of contracts that they had with the Chinese that were leveraged into gold. In other words, when these hedge funds actually went belly up, which, again, nobody expected was going to happen, their only recourse is to pay back the debt that they now have incurred in solid gold. But here's the problem. They have spent the gold. They have allocated the gold elsewhere. The gold didn't exist, and they actually had the balls to try to pass off on China after this 2008 major meltdown, to pass off electroplated tungsten. And I've told you this before, Tom. It was,
yeah, I remember.
Tungsten weighs almost exactly the same as gold. All you got to do is drill out a little bit at the bottom of the bar and pour a little lead in there, and then you can make it perfect. Then you electroplate some gold on the outside. The value of any one bar in terms of the gold you're putting in is maybe not more than $1,000, $2,000 at the most. But, you know, now it's become like worth $30,000 in terms of its apparent gold value, if not a lot more than that. I'm not really sure what the value of any one 400-ounce bar of gold is, but clearly if gold is $1,000 an ounce and you have 400 ounces, you got $400,000. So these are very expensive. So Anyway, they passed off an enormous amount of this fake gold all around the world. That came out in 2009. And I think it was also by the end of 2008 that story might have been breaking too. But I believe it was in 2009 that we really became aware of it. Or no, it was 2008. No, it was 2009. I'm sorry. It's very confusing to keep all these facts straight. It was 2009 that the story broke, and we found out that China had been passed fake gold, and they are pissed. And what they're saying is, you guys have to pay up, and we're not going to accept no for an answer. Well, the insiders in the Rockefeller faction have been failing to pay and failing to pay and failing to pay, but nobody has really been able to fully stop them so far. And last year, around this time last year, is when we saw things like the Norway spiral. The Norway spiral, in my opinion, and I've given a lot of credence to this in what I wrote on my website, the Norway spiral was a deliberate attempt to break the seal around disclosure. We also see these same Roswell beings, the ones that are allied with China, they have made many blatant attempts to break the UFO cover-up by flying over Chinese airspace. So if you look in the last year, you look over 2010, you'll find multiple stories of UFOs over the Chinese airport, shutting down the whole airport, freaking everybody out. Well, why don't they do that anywhere else? China is not part of this group. China does not have weapons that would shoot them down out of the sky. That's why they've been doing it over China. But they still haven't gotten as many results as they were hoping they would get in terms of actually shutting this whole thing down by doing this. So cut to, they come up with a plan which is really quite intense. And I only recently have been able to describe the plan in detail because the whole entire thing leaked on the internet on one of the top UFO discussion forums online. And there's all the information. When I went in there and read this, I'm like, oh, my God, this is exactly what everybody's been telling me, and it's already been printed. Therefore, I don't have any security risk in saying it. So what happened is this, and this is really – I was so blown away when I heard this story because the Chinese delivered by courier to the actual palaces or White House or whatever of every country in the world, they delivered these packages as of July, and they did it like simultaneously. It must have been very coordinated. Once the packages were actually dropped off, people were told, if you open this before October 13th, it's going to blow up 6-mile radius around the package. There will be nothing left, not anything. It's just going to be a big giant crater. And I'm assuming that they were told that if you move the device, it's going to go off as well. So, like, they couldn't quarantine it. They couldn't make it go away. But they said, don't worry. If you open it on the 13th, all we're saying is open the box. There's nothing in the box that's going to hurt you. But you have to wait till the October 13th before you can open it. And also they were told if you don't open the box within a certain finite time that it will also go off. So anyway, what happened is a lot of the world leaders waited until the 14th. They were really freaked out by this, but they did open it up. And inside, what they found was blueprints for free energy devices and a working prototype of a device that you can drop into an ordinary automobile as a little battery, and you can get 1,000 miles to the gallon on water and literally run your car on water. Now, why would they do this? The Chinese, obviously, part of why they want to do this is that they're already like the major industrial power in the world now. And if free energy was out and available, they no longer have to fight over oil and resources, and they can develop even more. Now, according to Benjamin Fulford, the Chinese do not want to reduce population. They're not trying to kill off everybody. They have introduced population controls in their own country, but they're not trying to do a mass genocide. However, there is an ongoing effort being made now that this stuff is leaking to make it appear that the Chinese are trying to ruin the planet, that they're trying to kill 70% of the population of the Earth, that these ETs that they're in conjunction with are trying to basically transform Earth's biosphere to be more habitable for them, but in the process actually make it unhabitable for us. And I was shocked in episode 10 of NBC's The Event,